Welcome back to the Galveston Experience Podcast. We are up to episode number 113. I got to tell you, Mike Dudas is stepping up his game with the scuttlebutt. He scored a really interesting interview with Maureen Patton of the 1894 Opera House. I did not know she'd been there for 39 years. Imagine all the performances and performers and cool stuff that she's seen. And you're going to hear a little bit about that as we get to the scuttlebutt in just a bit. But first, a couple of updates. Unfortunately, Dickens on the Strand, which then became Dickens on the Square, is now not going to be happening at all this year due to the spike in the coronavirus. We also learned that Carnival is canceling all their cruises through January, so the earliest possible date we could get out is in February. And the marathon that was scheduled for this weekend, that has been canceled as well. But there are still a lot of things happening on the island. And of course, we keep track of it all for you on the island events page at RadioGalveston.com. Proud to produce the Galveston Experience Podcast. I just can't wait anymore because this is such a great interview. So with Mike Dudas now, let's get the scuttlebutt on the Grand 1894 Opera House.
Hello, Maureen.
Good morning, Mike. It's good to see you and hear you.
Exactly. Same here. I know. It's just been a wild ride, and I feel like it's been forever since you've been back over here to the studio with Gina and everything. But, you know, life happens, right?
It does, and we all miss just being together. That's the hardest part of all of this, I believe.
And all the craziness with sports. I miss seeing you and Gina's pictures at the Astros game all the time. And
we had a pretty fierce text group going on for every game, you know, and that was the way that we compensated for not being present. So
I bet
we do what we must. I mean, that's the real bottom line to all of this. We make the best. We make lemonade out of the lemons, and we look on the bright side, and we just keep going. We've been closed since March 13th. That was a Friday the 13th, oddly enough. And it was a weekend that I had two sold-out shows of the musical Beautiful and had to pull the plug and have them reload the trucks right in the middle of the whole load-in. And that told the tale. And so everything got canceled through the end of our season. I started moving things into the next season. And we started trying to figure out what we were going to do. So one of the things that we were able to do was to push up some construction work we were doing to redo all of our concession stands here at the Grand, and we had the money to do it. We were going to compress it into the month of August. We were going to stay closed for August, and instead we've had months to do it. So they've been able to take their time. It's been a really beautiful project, and we're really proud of it. And the next thing, after we had just sort of shut down everything, then we started looking at the fall, and we did something I think pretty extraordinary for our Arttoberfest that we do each year. And this was the 23rd anniversary of that. Mm-hmm. And we made it virtual, and we ran it for 15 days instead of just 2 days on a weekend. 70% of the artists who participated sold something, which we felt like was a really good thing. And in the future, we're going to always have a virtual component of Arttoberfest, which makes perfectly good sense. We took donations, and here's the good news for you, Mike. The donations are going to a student at Ball High who will be attending college in 2021 and with a concentration in art. And so we will be supporting a student. I think that was really very important. The other fall event that we have had for years is our Serious Fun Party. And Serious Fun is what we call our educational programming. Well, schools aren't coming to the theater, and they won't be coming even through this school year. Sarah is working with some of our companies so that we can do virtual presentations to those students, and she can work with them. And so that's, again, pretty exciting. And so our usual party that we have in the fall to support that is a virtual fundraiser. So now we're doing what a lot of other people are doing, and it's always been a seriously fun party. And this one has Frank Billingsley opening up the party with a greeting. He's got a cute picture on there of him and Kevin and some friends who came to see Queen, which was the last performance in this theater before we closed. Rob Landis, who's been a staple for us every year, who comes and plays, is helping us with a scavenger hunt that people are going to do in their houses. And Rob is going to give some musical clues for what they have to go find. And then we're having a little bit of a tour of our new concession stands. And then I've offered what your burning question is. So somebody can actually say, I've always wanted to know what so-and-so's really like backstage, or did such and such ask for the no red M&Ms in the bag, or you know, all of those things that people always talk about artists. So they're going to have a chance to ask me that in the party. And we are delivering a party in a bag to people that have some fun things in there, things that will help them enjoy the party. And we'll have about 50 people online who are all participating in this. So we're really looking forward to it. We are going to open on January 2nd with two performances by the Texas Tenors. 200 people per show. That's all we can seat with social distancing. And that will continue for some time. And our beautiful concession stands will have to wait a while before we're selling concessions, because that's another of those areas where you have too many people collected, you know, together. We are being super safe. Our staff rotates in and out so that we don't have everybody here at one time. And we're wearing masks, even in the offices. Once you leave your area, you've got to wear your mask. So we're taking this very seriously, as all my colleagues are across the country. We're having to adapt. I don't like using that word pivot, because I've heard it so much, it's driving me crazy. But we are all adapting to what we can and can't do. So that's where we stand, and we can't wait to have people back in here, and I know they're anxious to come.
So you said the first show that you had to cancel was Beautiful, right?
Beautiful.
And that's a Carole King story, right?
Yes.
And we saw that on Broadway, and just like, oh my God.
It's such a wonderful show, and we'll get it back in probably 2022, because as you can imagine, all of the agencies are having to redo their tours, because they're not putting people on the road. We also had to move our date for the Beach Boys and for the Temptations, and that's just a way of life right now. All of my conferences have been virtual conferences. I won't be traveling at all this year, and none of my colleagues will be either. But we're gonna, you know, it's a strong industry, and we are a strong organization, and we certainly are key to Galveston's experience for not only the people who live here, but for the tourists who come, because, you know, 70-80% of our audience comes from out of town. So we really stimulate Galveston's economy in that way. And obviously when we're open, all the restaurants are full. So we have an obligation to support everybody.
I have a couple ask you anything questions,
like okay,
things that have happened to you along the way and all your years of experience there. What was the most unique or strangest amenity that a performer required?
You know, it's interesting. People always talk about the funny things, you know, the bowl of M&Ms with no red ones and that kind of a thing. We have not ever had something really, really odd. We learned about throat coat tea, which I'm a singer, and I never knew about throat coat tea. Now, a lot of the performers who sing want that. We did get a request for a very special kind of champagne for one of our artists, and it was not a big deal. So so we got it. But when I met her, and she was in the star dressing room, and I said, okay, I have never tasted this champagne, so when you open it, I hope you'll save me a glass. And she said, she was so cute, and she said, well, let's open it now, and you can taste it. And so we shared a glass of, it wasn't Dom Perignon, but it was another like major brand. And I thought, well, you know, it's okay, but it's not. Yeah. I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't that. But we've not had a lot of really odd requests. And I tell people all the time, I said, you know, these artists are just like you and me. And as the saying goes, they put their pants on one leg at a time. And what they really want more than anything else, they want a professional backstage environment so that when they do need something, they've got people who understand and can make it work. They want an audience. And of course, when they walk in here, what they get that they don't always expect is one of the most beautiful intimate theaters they'll ever play. So you think about somebody like Willie Nelson, who plays major performance venues. and the rodeo and everything else. And his people have even said to me, he said he likes coming here because it's such a different experience. Because when you're watching Willie and there are 1,000 people in this very small kind of space, they're seeing Willie in a way that you're just not going to see him at a big auditorium or at a rodeo. And that's the way most of our performers feel.
Which performer were you the most excited to meet? I know you've met hundreds, thousands of them, but which one that you just couldn't wait to meet and you were just so excited about?
Early in my time here, I absolutely adore Larry Gatlin, and I wanted so badly to get the Gatlin brothers here. And so I was just thrilled when he came, and I asked him to sing a particular song that he had recorded and then pulled. And it was called The Midnight Choir, because it was about the line at the mission in Tennessee, and the chorus of it went, "Will there be Mogan David in heaven?" And the end of that chorus is, "And if there ain't, who the hell wants to go?"
Yeah.
And I love that, because when I started here, I kind of stepped over the Midnight Choir every day I came to work, because this was, you know, our environment here was pretty bleak. It was not, I never felt unsafe, but it was certainly kind of seedy. And I asked him if he would sing it, and he said, and I said, "I know you don't do it." His father got mad at him, and I think that's why he pulled it. But he did it, and he told the audience, he said, "I'm going to sing this song because Maureen signs the check, and I need to do this for her." And he was very gracious about it. And, of course, I got to meet Gregory Peck, who's just one of the most charming people. Ooh. And I got to share the stage with James Earl Jones, because he did a Q&A, and he wanted me there on stage to kind of field the questions to him. You know, Carol Burnett was here, as well as Corman and Conway, and her sidekick, Vicki Lawrence. So not all together, but we had them all. Itzhak Perlman was way at the top of a list for me. We were so grateful to have him here, and he's been here now a couple of times. And he was due to play here the first time after Ike, and we had to move his date, and I was scared to death it wasn't going to work. And he said, "No, we're going to make this work for you." So yeah, it's been a privilege to be able to greet people and really make friends. Hal Holbrook has been here a number of times, and he even celebrated his 90th birthday tour with us within days of his actual birthday. We actually had a birthday cake for him, and he loves us. He talks about us like it's his favorite place to play. And so we're very privileged, and I've been here 39 years, so you can imagine how many people
39.
I feel very close to. 39 years. I just celebrated my 39th anniversary on September 1st. I was 12 when I started. Yes, they let me work while I was in school.
Yeah. Which performance had the most elaborate set?
Wow, it's some of the Broadway shows. You know, the first time we did a really big Broadway show was called Ziegfeld. Mm-hmm. And it was the biggest show we put on that stage to date. And then all of the Broadway shows started being bigger. When we did Will Rogers' Follies and I went backstage, I literally had to pick my way through a path to get backstage. And we've had a number of them like that. And then we've had some shows that are huge, even if they're not Broadway shows. I mean, Queen that we did, the Texas Tenors, when they did their PBS special here, and we adore the Texas Tenors, they come with lots of bells and whistles. So there are, Jesus Christ Superstar was huge. They even talked about, they called me when they were loading in. My stage manager called me. He said, "We have a problem." I said, "What's the problem?" He said, "We may not be able to get the cross in." And I said, "I can't do Jesus Christ Superstar without having the cross. We're not going to have Jesus standing there with his arms out pretending that he's on a cross. You've got to find a way to make this work." And it was so big, and they hadn't indicated that as much. And they worked and worked and worked, finally got it through with about less than an inch to spare to angle this thing so they could get it through the door. We're not a huge backstage. And even though we do have wing space, which a lot of these older theaters don't have, but we do have some real challenges. And sometimes there are a few things that get left on the trucks. But so far, we've been able to put just about everything we need to. And we've even done Cats. And I used to say, we'll never be able to do Cats. We'll do Kittens. And then we were able to do a Cats production, and it's coming back out, so we'll probably do it again. We will not have Phantom of the Opera. We did a Phantom, but it was not Andrew Lloyd Webber's. We will probably never have Wicked, and we will probably never have Hamilton. There's some things that the size of the seating will dictate we just won't have. You know, it's 1,000 seats is really pushing it for any kind of Broadway show.
All right. In our 30 seconds that we have left, remind everyone your next event so we can go out and support it.
The Texas Tenors on January 2nd. We've got two shows. We are first offering the tickets to the people who were holding tickets back before we closed. And then anything that we have left that we can still sell for those 200, we will sell. They are doing a show about legends. That's what they were going to do during our anniversary season, and they're going to do it again. They are so special, and they've done special things for us. We'll be bringing Rob Landis back in, and then we're looking at a number of one-man shows or one-woman shows. Probably you'll see some comedy in this theater more often than not, because we have to be very careful about how many people we put on the stage and backstage as well as in the house. So we're moving forward. So just come to www.thegrand.com and find out what we've got going on. Thank you, Mike, for this opportunity. Appreciate it.
My guest on this edition of the podcast has been Maureen Patton from the Grand 1894 Opera House. If you'd like to be a guest on a future podcast and give us all the scuttlebutt on your business or organization, drop us a line right here at radiogalveston.com.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Maureen, for sharing your time and all those great stories. And we look forward to the performances coming up again starting in January. You heard it. So check out the Grand 1894 Opera House. And, of course, anytime there's anything going on, we keep track of it on the Island Events page at radiogalveston.com and the all-new Galveston app. You'll find a link to the Digital Island Guide also on our website at radiogalveston.com. That's also the place to reach out and get a hold of us if you've got anything going on that you want to have publicized on our calendar, on the radio, or here on a podcast. And if you think you've got a good guest for a future podcast, get a hold of us there as well. So beautiful weekend on the island. Gotta love the fall temperatures. This is actually some of my favorite time of the year. So download that free Galveston app. Check out what's going on. There's also some free tours on there. We've got some great tours and a lot of kind of insider tips to where the free things are to do in Galveston, some of the family-friendly things. It's all on the Digital Island Guide. So hopefully we'll see you down at our place, the Galveston Experience Company, 15th and Seawall. Got some great tours, the Hurricane, the Historic, and the Ghost Bus tours. Maybe we'll see you up and down the Seawall down there on Post Office by the Grand 1894 Opera House. If nothing else, we'll be looking for you next time right here on the Galveston Experience Podcast.